Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Boomer Debate Show, giving voice to 78 million boomers from coast to coast and border to border. Each day we have a different guest and a different topic. Our guests always have a nugget or two for anyone, regardless of where you are. We hope you enjoy the relaxed conversational style of the show. Nothing fancy, just boomers sitting around the table talking about stuff. Now, here are the Boomer Debate, Pete Peters and Deborah Brown.
Yes, indeed. Welcome to the Boomer the Babe Show, coming to you one more time from Scottsdale, Arizona, live on site at the Barrett Jackson Auto Auction. We're coming to you from the Media Center. We've been doing that for a few days now, and we're going to be doing it one last show that we're doing now today and two shows tomorrow. After those shows are completed, we're going to go back to the studio and start broadcasting live from our own studio that we're moving into probably this afternoon, as a matter of fact, when I get back from this location. So we have some interesting guests today. First of all, we have a lady that is the past president and chairman of a raffle for the 10th year of a refurbished Mustang. And the name of the lady is Mary Fullup. I hope I pronounced that right, Mary.
You did. It's Mary Fullup.
Okay.
That's correct.
And the name of the organization is the Mana Club. Mana Club has been around since 1954, and I've been around the valley for a good long time myself, and for some reason I've never heard of the Mana Club, but we're going to try to help get a little of that information out today, and also then you're going to be able to hear it on our website, our Blog Talk site, and on their website as well with this little bit of radio, this little radio shtick we're going to do today. Okay. So, Mary, welcome to the Boomer the Babe Show. We're glad to have you.
Thank you very much for having me here and tell you about Mana Club. We've been trying to get our name out to the community for a long time. We're a lot probably better known in the East Valley, but we've expanded our horizons. We've definitely moved to Scottsdale because we do run a classic car show, and the Scottsdale Pavilions and weekly show is one of our sponsors, and we help them out in return by donating money to the Ronald McDonald House.
There are several charities that you donate money to, your organization donates money to, here in the valley, in the Phoenix Valley, the Sun, Maricopa County. Quite possibly, do you also donate throughout the state or primarily in the Phoenix area?
Probably I would say the Phoenix area. We really were located so much in the East Valley, but we've been able to expand as we've been able to build a little higher financial basis. But I think the two businesses or communities or charities that we help the most is the Child Crisis Center of the East Valley, which Mana Club established in 1981, and then the Save the Family Foundation, which we took over probably about 1990, 1991. We took them under our wings also. So they are our two babies as far as I'm concerned.
Well, tell me a little bit about the Child Crisis Foundation.
The Child Crisis Center is a safe haven for abused children. When in the early 80s, late 70s, they decided there was a need for assistance for abused children. It was really difficult for it to get passed along, but there definitely was a need. The center finally opened in 81 by Mana Club, and actually Mana Club volunteers ran the center for 2 years taking care of children until they could hire a staff and get it established. Started with like 12 beds, which were full every night. Now, I believe they have beds for probably about 42 kids. They can't take them over 12, and they're also the center is divided. Like, there's a children baby area, and then a young child area, and then the older child area.
Now, are these children that, when you, it's a child crisis center, what kind of crisis are these children in? Is it primarily abuse and neglect?
There could be any number of things. Could be abuse, neglect. It could even be a family in such a dire situation that things are so bad, in order to protect their children from being abused, they'll put them in the center till they can get their own acts together. It could be children that are taken away from families, from child protective services. There could be any number of reasons. That is the one part of the center. But as the years have progressed and the center has grown, they have now so many different resources going on that are available to families who are really needing help. They don't know how to take care of their families. They don't know how to control abusive behavior. Who knows? But they have anger management classes. They have family skill building for you. They have behavioral health services. There's an adoption and a foster process going there. They give parenting support. And there's just many things that have come out of this center. They now have four buildings. When we started out, it was one tiny little wing.
It's a real shame that that there's a need for such a service. And in as the economy is certainly not as strong as it once was, excuse me, I'm going to assume, and correct me if I'm wrong, and don't be afraid to do so, that you have a group. There's a greater need now because families are under a greater stress.
There's a stress at all levels of life, but I would say poverty could cause the most and greatest distress of anybody. And I'm kind of glad you mentioned that because it can kind of puts me into our other charity that we support, which is the Save the Family Foundation. The Save the Family Foundation is probably taking care of more homeless families than anything. There would be, once again, the situation of abuse could cause a situation where the mother is left with children, might have had an abusive husband. They're on the street. They have no money. They have nothing. And the center does and did have 172 houses now that they have got together that they can put these families in. These families must go through their resource program. They must go through their program of rehabilitating themselves and their children so they can get on with their lives, be educated, get out there and work, and build self-esteem. They have, once again, lots of different resources like the Child Crisis Center has done to get the next level on their own. Nicest thing I can say about the Save the Family Foundation is they have a 95% success rate. If you can make it through their program, you can make it through anything.
So let's talk about these families now. Where do these families come from? What is it that, there's many different reasons as to why a family unit would need this help, I understand, but where do you find them? How do they come to you?
This is another good point. We always wonder, how does this happen? Well, I think it's a cycle. It's a domino cycle. I think that when you have got a situation of being brought up in an abusive situation, I think that, unfortunately, tends to go with you to the next generation and on down. I think it's a cycle that the Save the Family Foundation tries to break. They try to break an abusive cycle. They try to, at some point, break it so it's no longer going through that domino effect. When it comes to, like, the Child Crisis Center, that cycle needs to be broken also. And unfortunately, I know that poverty brings an extreme... It makes it much worse when you're in a poverty situation. You don't have to be in a poverty situation and be abusive, you know, but I would say...
It magnifies it.
I would say so.
It certainly magnifies it. There is another organization which you may be familiar with, and I don't know if I'll get the name right, but I think it's something like Los Campanas or something like that. It's an organization that deals with the older young adults, children, teenagers, whatever, because I've been told, and that gentleman has been on our show also years ago already, and he tells me that at a certain point they age out of the system and they're sent out to the street, and it continues in that manner. They go out with a duffel bag or a trash bag full of their possessions, and they're out there, and they're just out of the system. They're off the grid now as far as social services are concerned. Is this you're trying to stop these kids before they get there, I would imagine.
We are definitely trying to hope that these establishments that we help support are doing that. Unfortunately, the Child Crisis Center is at a point where it can't keep older boys, but they did actually have a section of their house that housed kids up through age 17, however long they were allowed to stay in the system, where they were safe until they were 18 and they could go out on their own. That is not available to us anymore, or to the Child Crisis Center. Unfortunately, like the Child Crisis Center at age 11, that's as long as we can keep them. They have to move on to another service, or hopefully into somebody's home. We hope that maybe there's foster care out there. There's so many kids that need, if you can't adopt them, could you foster care them? And that would be excellent too.
Now, you've got the one location in Mesa, is it?
Yes, this Child Crisis Center is in Mesa, off of Country Club Road. So is the Save the Family Foundation. They're very close to each other, within a few miles. It is also in Mesa and off of Country Club Road.
So now these two organizations, do they work hand in glove in some ways, or are they completely autonomous with one another?
At times they do. They have been around each other for the 20-some years that Save the Family's been in business, and there were things that would go hand in hand with each other. And then they work obviously separately too. But services at the Save the Family Foundation are available to Child Crisis Center families and vice versa.
How are these, other than the fact that Mana Club tries to fund these and help these people out, how many other people are trying to help? Where does additional funding come from? Is there any government money involved in funding any of these, or the Mana Club, or any of them?
I'm not exactly sure of their financial basis. I can tell you that there's a lot of community support with other businesses and...
Go ahead.
Sorry. Yeah, I would like to not say how their funding is, because as I'm not an employee of those businesses or on staff,
I
might get it wrong.
I understand. That's
okay.
Fine.
Okay. But there is a lot of support within the whole community.
Okay. The organizations that I know of at this juncture are all in some sort of a financial strapping because of the economy.
Right.
But what you've done for the last 9 years, this is your 10th year, as
yes.
I personally, as the chairman of the Mana Club car raffle. So you've been involved in raffling a car every year for 10 years. Tell me, how did you get started raffling this automobile?
Well, it's been really fun. What happened is... probably more than 10 years ago, my own husband is into classic car restoration and has quite a few friends and businesses that are all into restoration of classic cars. And for years they were saying that they could do a car for us, let's do a car raffle. Being a group of women, we weren't all that sure we could figure out how to run a car raffle. After we decided to make the go of it, these gentlemen searched and looked and found a car for us, and we actually sat down and named every classic car out there and just tried to figure out a car that would be most identifiable to the most public, and that's when we came up with the Mustang, figuring you can always identify a Mustang. Well, it's kind of stuck. Every year we have done a classic Mustang, 65 or 66. It has always been a convertible. It's always been a 289 engine, and it has been, they've all been mint perfect vehicles, all different. And this year, our car is really phenomenal. It's a 66 Mustang GT convertible. It's, once again, it's got that 289. It's a V8. It's got the A code engine, full GT package. It's got the pony interior, two tone, a white top. It's got the power top, power steering. It's gorgeous. And the prettiest thing about it is it's soft silver blue. Drives like a gem. So we got a great product for a great product that we're helping.
Well, it is a sweet car. I've seen it at your booth here at Barrett Jackson. And what better place for you to try to sell it and try to promote it and raffle it other than Barrett Jackson? So it's a fit with all the Mustangs and the Ford products that they have here. It's an absolute fit. I know the 289 engine. I tried to blow one up in 1959 Galaxy 500 years ago. I ran it out of oil, and I couldn't blow it up no matter what I tried. It's one of the best engines that Ford ever put together, in my opinion. So it's a great looking car. It really, anybody would be pleased to own it. And like you say, it's been restored completely, soup to nuts. Now, who actually does the restoration? Let's talk about the restoration a bit.
My husband, Mike, is a complete engine breakdown detail, seats out everything. He puts that whole body together. Vintage restoration is probably one of the most fantastic classic car restorers here in town. Ken out there does the best paint and body work you'll ever see, and does cars from all over the United States. East Valley Mustang, Old Gary in Mesa, has been in business for 45 years doing Mustang parts. He can answer any Mustang question out there. If anybody needs a Mustang part, call Gary at East Valley Mustang. But other than that, I've had this same group of gentlemen. If we need it, Discount Tires here in town has come across with tires for us. We send in our plea letter and hope that we're chosen. Spirit Jackson, I have to tell you, has given us a charity space here to support us with our car raffle. And they give us a spot. We never know where it's going to be. We don't care. But they find us a corner and they set us up. And that's been fantastic.
The raffle itself, you buy tickets?
Yes.
Just like any standard raffle. How much are the tickets?
We sell them for a phenomenal $10 for one ticket. Three tickets for $25. You can get 13 for $100. And the best deal of all is 30 tickets for $200. There's a couple ways you can get them. We have a fantastic website. It's got multiple pictures of the car on it so you can see what we're talking about. And it's kind of a weird name. Our name, Mana Club, is a Hopi word. Mana, it's actually spelled M-A-H. N as in no, A-H. Mana. It's a Hopi word meaning leading women. So our website is manaclub.org.
So now this is a female-based organization.
It is very female, but out here I got so many men volunteers you wouldn't believe it.
Well, you've not met Deborah, who is the other half of the Boomer the Babe phenomenon, as we sometimes call it. She is very much into charities and nonprofits and all female-based. She's been involved in female-based organizations
for
a long, long time. And when she hears this interview, if she's not listening now, she'll be, I'm sure, wanting to know more about the Mana Club. And you may at some point hear from us and say, okay, how can we help on the west side of the valley?
We'd love to. Well, we actually do take care of west side people. They can certainly come to the Save the Family Foundation, get off the street. Children, we don't cut off the line over at that crisis center for kids.
Mm-hmm.
They come from the west side, too. We are just basically based on the east side, but it's Greater Phoenix.
Well, why don't you go ahead and give us that website number again?
Okay, a little weird, guys. Are you ready? It's M-A-H, N as in no, A-H, club.org, O-R-G.
Okay, and you can go there. You can actually buy those tickets online.
Yes, you can order. You can. There's a phone number on there, call and order, and there's a order form online that you can fill out and send in. And once again, just for the vehicle and all our information about our charity.
Okay. Well, Mary, I'm glad you had the time to come by and visit with me today. It's been wonderful information and wonderful meeting you. And best of luck to everything you're doing and your fine organization.
Thank you. This has been a blast.
It's been fun. It's always fun.
Sorry I missed that other babe, too.
There you go.
Okay, take care.
You're the guest babe today.
All right, I'll take that.
Okay, our next guest that is coming on board right now is Mary Departs, and hopefully she doesn't trip over my cords, is Mr. Brad White. He's the national chairman for an organization called Yellow Ribbon America. Just as it sounds, it's kind of like that tie a yellow ribbon around the old tree song, I would imagine. So welcome to the Boomer the Babe Show, Brad.
Well, thank you so much. It's one of those unique opportunities to be at a great event and at the same time talk to folks that are very supportive, not only great in cars, but also of America and their troops. So thank you very much.
Well, it's certainly our pleasure to have you here. Tell me a little bit, give me a thumbnail sketch of the organization, Yellow Ribbon. Do you deal with any returning soldier, any soldier that's here and has maybe served in Vietnam, so on and so forth? A little more about your organization.
Well, the actual idea or concept of Yellow Ribbon America was based on my individual experience as joining the California Army National Guard back during the first Gulf War, Operation Desert Storm, Desert Shield, where my mother, as a single parent, a cancer survivor, put a yellow ribbon around a tree when I went to basic training at Fort Benning, Georgia. I actually left when the 100-day bombing started. Never served overseas, but I remember her distinctly doing that. While I was at infantry school, there was an issue at the house that she called the local plumber, and the neighbor saw the plumbing truck and actually went up and said, whatever it costs, we're going to pay. Her son is serving our nation's military, and I never forgot that. We started Yellow Ribbon America based on the pretense that when our country was attacked on 9/11 and the war started in Afghanistan, a lot of the officers in the military that I know out of Joint Forces Base Los Alamitos that had been in the military a long time said, this is going to be a long war. And when our combat operations started in Iraq, basically I saw firsthand that the reserve and the guard component of the military not get the same support as the active duty because they didn't have the budget. So we started the Yellow Ribbon America Project or campaign during that time of February 2003 to help local communities be able to give support to their local military. My home state, California, because of our population of being 37 million people, has more people that join the military than any other state, and we also have more military installations. We have about 223 National Guard armories, reserve centers, active duty military installations. And so my mindset was, hey, if everybody did something locally to support their local military, specifically the families, their caregivers that don't wear a uniform, it'll help that person to be able to fight for their country, do what they need to do, and come back safe and not worry about what was going on at home. Because there was nothing I could do at Fort Benning, Georgia. The Army would not send me home to say, hey, I'm going to have an issue. But the neighbors that did that planted a seed in me that I basically thought, yeah, well, let's start something and just do it local. Because I was also involved in the National Guard Association of California, I had access to the state capitol, and with their blessing, I approached several of our state legislators and even the governor's office, Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger's office, and asked if it would be possible for us to do a statewide Christmas drive for the active duty guard and reserve, not just for the National Guard, because each state has to do something with the state and federal entity. And with their blessing and the help of the California National Guard Association, we launched the first Christmas drive, which was called Operation Christmas for our troops. Now in our seventh year, in not only military members, but their families, where every community through their legislator or that's in their district is basically given the opportunity to find out who their local military is and be able to support them. So we promote that every year. And so the campaign is really about helping people support their local military, whether it's a faith-based organization, whether it's a city, whether it's folks just locally. A lot of people don't know that their neighbor could be in the military. So we try to do things that, help people be able to make sure that people in their community don't fall between the cracks.
Well, it sounds like let me rephrase what I was going to say. Sometimes there's a lot of information about support the troops. They need your support. Support for the young men that are in Afghanistan and Iraq and so on and so forth. But a lot of times, people don't realize that the wife, the girlfriend, the children, the mothers, the fathers, just because he's the one over there or she's the one over there doing the active service, the active duty, these people back home are serving as well in their own way. Now, I've come to realize that more and more because Deborah, who is the babe half of the Boomer the Babe show, She was a military child. Her father was in the military. Her father served all over the world. Her mother was traveling with the father, and the children traveled with the father, and therefore two of the three of them were born outside of the continental United States. And when her mother passed away a few years back now, just a couple of years ago, she always thought of herself, and Deborah's promoting that fact, that she also was a hero, and she also served her country due to the fact that she was raising her family. Her father went to Turkey in a listening post in Turkey, and Deborah swears to this day that the reason the family went with him is they were cover for him, because they were there trying to help salve the fact that he was there and whatever they were doing. But, oh, it couldn't be too bad. It couldn't be, because the whole family was here. And there are stories that I don't even know that she'll write that book someday. But the family served. The family serve as well. And that's what I think I like about your organization, is that you're not forgetting those families that are stateside.
No, and that's part of why we focus on it being a campaign, because we want to educate the public and share with them that imagine if your father or your mother or your son or your daughter or your sister or your brother was gone. And think of the times that you miss. You'll miss graduations and birthdays, baseball games, the time your child walks for the first time or speaks. And these folks do this for our country, but their families do this for our country, because they are willing to go without sleep for nights and worry and pray and hope that everything works out and everybody comes back safe over and time again. But they do this because not only do they love the person serving, but they know that it's a responsibility that they've said, I'm going to do this. I'm going to marry somebody in uniform, or I'm going to let my son join the military, or I'm going to let, you know, my brother know that I'm there. And that's why, you know, thinking about those things, and I'm sure that you remember the time in America that there was no support during the Vietnam War, 11 years, which we're at the 10-year interval. Who would have thought that we, at 10 years, we would still be fighting a war in two different countries? And the Vietnam War went on for 11 years, and 2 million Americans served, and there was not that support, as you know.
Well, there was no support for the troops or their families. I mean, it was
exactly.
It was just unbelievable what went on. Now, I didn't serve in that war, but nonetheless, there was just absolutely no support, and that's one thing that I've noticed, the difference between then and now. You may not agree with the war, you may not agree with what's happening, but the troops are still there doing what it is that they do, and they deserve the support, regardless of what our political aspirations or political feelings are. You may think we shouldn't be there, we should bring them all home tomorrow, and maybe that wouldn't be a bad idea, but the reality is, they're doing their thing, they are over there taking their orders and working hard for the objectives that they're trying to accomplish. So they are to be honored there. And there's another issue that, and I'll bring Deborah into this again, although she's not here, and you're obviously doing it. And it's when people, sometimes I think, this is my opinion, they'll put that ribbon on the back of their car, and they'll spend whatever they spend for that yellow ribbon that goes on the back of their car, the Remember the Troops ribbon, the red, white, and blue ribbon, whatever it might be. But that's as far as it goes. That may be the only thing that they do. And your campaign seems to me to be something that Deborah is in. We're going to be putting together. It's more than a ribbon. It's more than a ribbon. The ribbon's fine, and that's as far as it goes. But there's more than a ribbon, and you're doing it. There's other organizations too in this town. There's a Packages from Home organization that's right here in Arizona, that is also, it's more than a ribbon. And those are the kinds of organizations I think that we should all support and let the word spread.
But it's also important to know it can't be us alone. And part of our organization's mission is to organize America, or to motivate and to activate through educating, that all of us can do something. When we do grassroots community outreach events, and we are so grateful for the sponsorship and great support of Barrett Jackson, they have been tremendous that they presented the opportunity for us to come out to the communities, not only here in Scottsdale, but we've been in Las Vegas, we've been in Orange County, California, where we've been able to bring out the local military and be able to say, hey, well, not only can you support, whether it's getting involved with volunteering, whether it's financially donating, and we always have patriotic items such as, you know, yellow ribbons or pins or dog tags. I think it's in our culture as Americans, we love symbols, but symbols mean something to us. And all of us try to use these symbols to motivate people into action. And if everybody just did a little something, there would be such a ripple effect, because as you know, there's no country that's more giving than America. When anybody's in trouble, it's us that says, you know what, how can I help? So, you know, with our focus is that we know with the economy is a little bit, you know, tough out there, and for some folks even really hard, but, you know, that's just our history. Our history has never been easy. It's when we get together and we look and think about others and how we can help others and come together as a united, you know, force to make a difference, whether it's a hurricane in Louisiana, whether it's a 9/11, you know, terrorist attack, or it's in, you know, Haiti has an earthquake. It's the American people that come together and say, how can I help? And so, you know, when we have these opportunities to go out, all we're saying is, through us, we can help you help your local military. But at the same time, like you mentioned, there are great organizations in your own backyard. You need to support them financially if you can't get involved, or volunteer. Knock on the door of your local National Guard Armory or your Reserve Center. Find out if you know somebody in your church that is a military family. Say, what can I do for you? I mean, if we had that response, we'd be able to get through these tough times a lot easier, because, you know, we're not going to get the help from the federal government. They're having a bit of financial issues of their own right now. But we don't need the government's help, because basically it's us that always makes the difference.
Tell me a little bit of couple of questions that I want to make sure that we get answered.
Yes.
Are you a national organization?
Yes, we are definitely a national organization. We may have started in California, and like all things, we didn't anticipate basically growing the way we have, but we have kind of learned the system of helping the local military get community support. And so basically, we've kind of built a template where people now know how to, through what they call their family readiness programs, meet their local community, promote what they're doing, because there's certain things the military can't do. It's not in their regs that they can't ask for anything. So that's why when you see your local nonprofit doing things for them, it's a lot easier for that to be a conduit if they have a relationship. So basically our campaign has goals and objectives to kind of like a triage effect, help communities support their deployed military, their returning that are physically and emotionally injured. There's a lot of resources locally. Yes, you have a local VA available. Yes, you have different programs here and there. But sometimes it's the community itself that can offer this stuff directly. So what we normally do is we promote the holiday season, Operation Christmas for our troops and families. And there's great people like the USO, Operation Gratitude, the organization you mentioned here locally in Arizona, that keep supporting those troops with care packages, especially the soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, and Coast Guard members that may not have family support and be able to get something from home. But also support those that have returned, because the majority of all of them have been to Iraq and Afghanistan multiple times and have gone to Korea and Kosovo and places like Gitmo. We want to keep that support going. So what we try to do is, through the year, it's our Yellow Ribbon America Week, which we just started in California, and it's going to be national, which is the 4th of July week, where we encourage businesses to offer a military discount for not only the military member with a military ID card, but also family members have a dependent card that they can offer a discount for, and that usually is in the month of July. And then we do the holiday drive that is basically between September through Christmas. The military at home celebrates their Christmas parties for I don't know what the reason is, but it's normally in November and then early December. And then basically if you adopt in your backyard, there's always these times where you're able to support what's called their family days. And we do that on an ongoing basis.
How many troops, directly or indirectly through families, do you support, would you guess?
it's hard to keep tabs because when they come back from deployment, pretty much, you know, we got movie tickets, we you know, help get food for their welcome home, and they're pretty much good to go unless there's an issue. If somebody was wounded, the government takes a great job in the transition period from Walter Reed and Bethesda and making sure they're getting the physical support. And there's a lot of great organizations specifically dealing with the wounded that help them. But I can tell you that specifically for Christmas, we have helped over 500,000 military members and family members receive some sort of Christmas support, whether it's a gift card, a toy, a donation. We've sponsored many units' Christmas parties. At this moment, I can tell you that this past Christmas, we probably have supported over about 30,000 different military members from the Navy, the Army, the Marine Corps, the Guard and Reserve components and active duty components. And that's because basically a lot of times when we do a community drive, right within that area, there's a lot of local units. And then individually, if somebody approaches and say, hey, I'm in the military, or and I'm on vacation and I'm not at Fort Benning, George, and I'm with my wife and, you know, she's not working right now, can you help? You know, we heard about this, we'll support them. It's not just a, you know, we look at it from a perspective of whoever it is, whether it's Wyoming, whether it's Arizona, whether it's Nevada, we're there to give support. And we're actually supporting troops here at Barrett-Jackson, about four different units that are out of Buckeye, Arizona, with the United States Army Reserve.
Tell me some of the things that you say that you support them and you might be able to give them a gift card. Talk to me specifically about that gift card. How does that gift card program work? Does somebody donate those cards? Does somebody buy those cards and give them to you for distribution? How does that work?
Normally, what happens is two things. We'll either buy them ourselves. And the reason we do that is that when we raise money for specific units that goes into their FRG funds, typically they'll use it for either an emergency situation for a soldier, or they will use it for an upcoming family event. So the gift cards help us to be able to give something that could be used for, let's say it's a Visa gift card. So somebody's having a financial hardship problem. You know, as we know, Visa is just as good as cash. We get a lot of Walmart gift cards because Walmart is one of our supporters and sponsors, and Walmart can get you diapers, it can fix your tires, it can get you food, it can get you electronics. Gift cards are a way of giving something that they can get what they need, or get something just, hey, you know what, everything's fine, but they're a young soldier, they're a young Marine, and they can be able to turn that into either music, iPods, or, you know, basically DVDs. But we have always found that is kind of the easiest way to give something without it being, you know, a little bit harder to.
It becomes universal.
Yeah.
Easily used. Well, tell me a little bit about how people can get hold of you, how they can donate to your cause. You have a website. Give me all that contact information.
Yeah, definitely. We have a website, and actually, you know, what makes a difference is that. Not only can you support us directly in the programs that we have a welcome home and a welcome home program for combat wounded, and a support program to help the integrator if they have special needs that are not getting addressed or helped with. They can support that online. They can support a Christmas drive online and our ongoing efforts to support units directly while deployed and returning. We also have the ability for them to get involved. I think it's important that people, you know, say, hey, you know what, I'd like to do this in my own backyard. Well, we'll show them. I mean, who's going to teach you fundraising? Who's going to teach you public relations? Well, you know what, we didn't have a lot of money. We're grassroots. So when we started, luckily for us, the legislators, they had those paid staffers or people stepped up, and they taught us how to do some of these things. Well, now we can help people locally to be able to kind of get out there and do great events like, you know, Barrett-Jackson or others, and be able to reach out to the public and say, hey, you know, I'm going to give support to my local military, or they can join us at events. We always look for volunteers. That's through our website.
And that again is?
www.yellowribbonamerica.org. That's yellow spelled YELLOWRIBBON. America, AMERICA.org.
Very good. Now, you're the national chairman.
Yes.
Are you one of the founders?
Yeah, I actually am the founder, and you know, it's one of these things where you keep looking around to see, you have an idea in your head. Well, and there has to be somebody smarter than me, better than me, and I didn't see anybody thinking about community outreach. And my background actually is working in real estate, where I've helped a bunch of people develop shopping centers and homes, and then I'd have to go in there and talk people into, like, telling them, hey, wouldn't it be great to have Walmart as a neighbor, or hey, we're going to build 1,000 houses blocking your ocean view. And I soon learned that, you know, people don't like these things sometimes, and you have to get out there and meet folks that have been around for a long time to have a lot of more credibility than you do, and build a consensus and say, okay, well, what would you like? You know, the person owns this property, but what would be ideal besides not doing anything at all? And I learned that.
Did you do something in Oceanside, California about 10 years ago? Were you down there trying to build that big hotel to block the ocean view?
Never in Oceanside. I think the farthest you could blame me is for doing drive-thrus in Carlsbad. We actually did a petition drive to get more drive-thrus, and that's about it. But I just do zoning variant stuff now. But that, I learned a lot of stuff through that. And people, they can get mad at you and disagree with you, but in general, people are great people, and they just love their community. And when you understand when you're coming into their community and you respect that, it changes everything. And that's what Yellow Ribbon America, my mind was about, is like, if you get to the people who have lived there, that know everybody, that know, you know, Joe the barber, they know the person that basically runs the, you know, video store up the street. They, you know, this is the mayor, this is the police, you know, chief or whoever.
The people that really are the people.
Exactly.
That's who you needed.
Exactly. And, you know, so we actually, when we started in 2003, we had cities doing resolutions. And we had even the city of Huntington Beach, California, put yellow ribbons on every city vehicle. And they're a pretty big town. They're like about 200,000 people. And they pledged their support until everybody came home. And basically, they don't do that now because, you know, unfortunately, yellow ribbons fade. You got to change them. But the pretense was that, you know, if any of our police officers or firefighters or city employees, we're going to pay the difference while they're deployed. And if anybody in our community gets hurt or anybody that's in need, they come to us. Come to the mayor. You have a direct line. Come to the city council people. Come to the police department. Come to the firefighters. Come to the city employees. Come to the park. And so we've had cities and counties across not only California but across America that have duplicated the efforts, that have said, you know what, how can we help? We just recognized, because we're sponsored by the state of California, the county of San Bernardino, because they were able to open up every county offices from the jails to the courthouses, and they raised 71,000 items. And we're talking clothes, we're talking food, we're talking, they raised money and bought gift cards on their own to distribute to their local Marines and 29 Palms, their local National Guard, their local reserves. And this is something we all can do. And, you know, I know there's a lot of people in need and we want to help everybody, but if it isn't for the people who give us our freedom, if it wasn't for their families that say, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and miss sleep again. I'm going to miss all these wonderful Christmases and birthdays because I believe in what my dad is doing, or I believe in what my brother's doing, my husband, my daughter, whoever. You know, if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't be free. We wouldn't be able to do breast cancer research. We wouldn't have the economy to do it. So to me, they're our America's number one cause. And, you know, I think we should all be very proud of them. They always talk about the greatest generation. Well, believe it or not, that spirit of America is still there. I see it every day, and you can too. If you get involved and help, it'll be the greatest thing, and you'll not have problems sleeping at night. Trust me.
Well, I'll tell you, Brad, it's really nice to see a gentleman such as yourself with such passion for what he does. It's a real joy to meet people like you. I've got a couple of things that I want to talk to you about after we go off the air here.
Sure.
There's some other things that we might be able to get together and work with. But for now, I'm just going to have to say, one more time, give me that website address again, and then we'll close off this portion of the Boomer the Babe show for Saturdays. So go ahead and give me that, and then I'll do a little close, and we'll talk some more.
You got it. That website is www.yellowribbonamerica.org, and it's all easy spelling, yellowribbonamerica.org.
One word, just like they've always been spelled. No funny spellings in there either. Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Brad. We're glad that you joined us. I appreciate you taking the time away from your booth, because I know you got a lot of people down there, and that's also good to see. You've been listening to the Boomer the Babe Show on Blog Talk Radio here in Scottsdale, Arizona, as we're coming to you live from the Barrett Jackson Auto Auction. We always try to bring you good conversation, and today we brought you some excellent conversation with Brad White from Yellow Ribbon America, and also with Mary Falam from the Child Crisis Center and Mana Club. So we're grateful to both of those for being with us. And we're going to see you again tomorrow. We've got a 10 o'clock show and another one at 12:30. Both of those will be having Barrett Jackson officials here talking about the consignment and also talking about the marketing of Barrett Jackson. So we look forward to that tomorrow. This is the Boomer the Babe Show in Scottsdale, Arizona, going to set up the new office after we leave here today. Have a great day, everybody, and make the rest of your life the best part of your life. And we'll see you and talk to you again tomorrow.
To the Boomer the Babe Show, where we bring interesting conversation to the world. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, where we tweet as Boomer and Babe, and on Facebook as Pete Peters 47. As always, you can friend us on Blog Talk Radio or sign up for our newsletter at boomerandthebabe.com. Email us at host@boomerthebabe.com with any of your comments. Remember, at 50, you're just getting started.